Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 438, April 25th, 1980, and it's side one of the tape. You see, I had to get back to the music after all. I couldn't resist it. That's Blondie singing Accidents Never Happen in a Perfect World. Before we get on to the bulk of the tape, I do want to mention the passing of Jean-Paul Sartre this week. He was a big influence in my life, and I don't know how many heroes you people have, you young people growing up, but you better get some going when the going gets rough. You have to believe in somebody or something. I respected Sartre and Samuel Beckett also, the Irish writer who lived in Paris. They fought the Nazis hand-to-hand. They did clandestine work. They were in the street resistance during World War II. Sartre rejected the French Legion of Honor for his resistance activity. He also refused the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. He said he didn't want to be transformed into an institution. He offered us a philosophy which takes you right out to on the limb, called existentialism. There is no God, no fixed human nature. Man is responsible only to himself and to his fellow man. And Sartre believed that the commitment to a cause is the only thing that separates men from animals. The degree or proportion with which you commit yourself to the thing that you believe in is what makes you go up the scale, maybe of 1 to 10, not like Bo Derek, but on an emotional, psychological, social level, the involvement and energy you put into the world to make this existence better, and this existence is all there is, according to Sartre, and I believe that. So use it and make time with it now. There's a famous quotation, I don't remember who said it, our blunders mostly come from letting our wishes interpret our duties, but there are men like Sartre that knew their duties, and when they had to do it, they did it, not for honors or any recognition, but because fascism is an evil thing, and life has to be free, and the freedom depends upon struggles, at times even the dirty part of the street fighting of the Nazis. Where is Richard Helms? I've mentioned that on other tapes, other times. Maybe I should offer a prize for somebody who comes up with an interview or any facts about Richard Helms. I believe he was seen at the hospital when the Shah of Iran was in the United States, but he is very silent on the Iranian crisis. He helped set up the Shah in Iran with Alan Dulles. He was behind the CIA activities through the past 35 years when it went from the OSS to the CIA. Outside of Alan Dulles, Helms was one of the most important men of American history who greased the slide that brought us down to where we are right now, the pits. But he's very invisible. John J. McCloy, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, and other scoundrels are visible. But where is Richard Helms through this crisis? If you have any information, let me know. I can't find anything about him. Ronald Reagan addressed the California Congress, the Assembly, in 1968, February 16, 1968, with a speech, "The Vietnam War will help boost employment, personal income, economic growth in California." Governor Reagan said California shared heavily in activities resulting from the Vietnam War. The importance of our defense and space industries makes this state a major source of new armaments for modern warfare. Vietnam War has contributed 153,000 jobs to the California economy between 1965 and 67, and he was rooting for the war because it made us in California very prosperous from the war. This is one way to solve inflation, unemployment, and a sagging economy. So when Reagan is president of the United States, the role he's wanted for a long time in the White House, you know ahead of time how he's going to solve that problem. I received a call from Los Angeles from a lawyer for the ACLU. They're filing a suit, the lawyer's name is Jerry Sperling, against the Los Angeles Police Department for the invasion of privacy, for the right to assemble and the freedom of speech. The various people who assembled at a conference at UCLA in 1975 were spied upon, and reports went to the Los Angeles Police Department. And Jeff Cohn, a researcher in Los Angeles, who at the time had organized with Don Fried the Campaign for Democratic Freedom at UCLA, is suing the police department. The attorney felt there was a good chance of something coming of it, and they called me because my name is in the files. I was a speaker at the conference, and they're filing suit against the Los Angeles police for taking down what we said and reporting who was there and putting it into their dossiers. That was in 1975, the conference was. Of course, this isn't anything new because my FBI files show that I've been under surveillance since 1967, so this was just years later that the conference was taking place and they were continuing to build up this dossier on me. I got a wonderful article from New Jersey from a listener who subscribes to the tapes. The title of the article is FBI Warned Arischetti of Mob Contract. This has to do with the mayor of Camden, New Jersey, Angelo J. Arischetti, and I still haven't been able to spend the weeks of background on the ab scam that I wanted. We're going into it a haphazard way, and I wanted to spend many weeks just in the groundwork of it, but there's been so much important news that I have put it off. Arischetti is not only the mayor of Camden, New Jersey, whose name has been mentioned in the ab scam scandals, but he's a state senator in New Jersey. He holds these jobs. And right after Angela Bruno of Organized Crime was gunned down, the FBI offered Arischetti protection. Now, Arischetti felt that that was an excuse to surround him, and then the FBI would then offer him control and stop the investigation on him if he would be a potential witness in crime cases. And I did some back tapes, which you have or will have to order, on Angela Bruno and the Philadelphia casino connections to London and to international organized crime and the gaming tables in New Jersey that are going there now. But he's one of the big dons of organized crime, and of course his murder was linked to Abscam. And the article, it's from the Courier Post this last week, says that the killing of Angela Bruno was done as a reaction to the Abscam scandals, and I said there'll be many murders going, but this was a biggie. And the article goes on to say that the FBI informant had warned Arischetti that there was a contract out on his life, and he's involved right in the midst of New Jersey and all of these scandals, that there's a contract to kill him following the Bruno murder. The FBI informant did tell him that the Bruno murder with Abscam, with the links to Abscam, would affect Arischetti and that he also would be murdered, Mayor Angelo J. Arischetti. Now, the article goes on and says Arischetti's life has been threatened on three other occasions: during the Hanafi terrorist shootout in Washington, after San Francisco Mayor George Moscone was assassinated, and right after the gangland-style shootout of Major Coxon, C-O-X-O-N, a reputed South Jersey, Philadelphia heroin kingpin. Now, these large massacres, such as the Manson family and these Hanafi murder and these various packets where a segment of the population is slain and another group is held responsible for it, are part of a manipulated operation done by the CIA, the FBI, and I have many files on the Hanafi case in Washington, D.C. Maybe you don't remember those murders. There was a woman whose child was in a bathtub. The woman was killed. Black Muslims had their house broken into, and some Muslims were murdered. And at the time, other Muslims were held, as they said, they were competing with them and fighting an interfight between the black Muslims, and yet there was somebody across the street who was seen fleeing the scene of the crime that had nothing to do with the black Muslims. Well, I do have under my massacre section in my files on murders the story on the Hanafi terrorists, because I know these things someday will be terribly important, and if I don't say them now, we won't have them to look back later. But the George Moscone is the important name, because I did tapes on Jonestown, and that Moscone was number one on the hit list if the people at Jonestown died, and that George Moscone was linked to the Howard Hughes organization, and now they have links to organized crime and Arischetti and the New Jersey gang. And it's very interesting that when George Moscone was assassinated, that the mayor of Camden, New Jersey, and a state senator from New Jersey would be on the death list, that it would affect a public official, a double public official in New Jersey, when the mayor of San Francisco was killed, because the mayor there was linked to Jim Jones with his national and international connections to gun running, narcotics, slavery, and Nazi experimentations down in Jonestown. So now the next question is, how many newspapers are linking Arischetti and Abscam to Jonestown and Moscone? But the net gets bigger and wider. For those of you that follow the information each week, you can see when you bring in Moscone to New Jersey and Jonestown. Remember when the people were all killed in Jonestown, there was a sudden death of some black people from Georgetown, from Guyana in New Jersey? Well, I'll have to go through my files. I have too much material this week anyway. I'll look through the files, but look up if you have the article, some of you have, of the death of other people from Jonestown and Guyana in New Jersey, and I'm sure this will go back to the gaming tables, the narcotics, and the weapons that Jim Jones had, and also the assassination teams. You see, as I mentioned before, Jim Jones was trained assassins, mind-controlled zombie assassins who were out loose in the world, and the assassination teams were identified, part of them coming from New Jersey in December, when Frank Turple from Washington and George Kirkola from New Jersey were arrested. That case has been completely hushed up, and that linked to London, to Mr. Cummings, the arms merchant of the world, and also to Philadelphia and the Angelo Bruno links. We have to diagram those, I keep saying, and one subscriber has offered to help me do some of these diagrams. They're terribly important to put down, but now the article comes out that Arischetti, the mayor, Camden Mayor Angelo J. Arischetti, whose death, possible death, is linked, if he were to be murdered, to Abscam, to international drug markets, and so forth, they bring out the point that when George Moscone was murdered in San Francisco, Arischetti's life was in danger in New Jersey. The net and the web is coming together very nicely through all kinds of news articles that are being sent to me and that I'm collecting also through books and articles. New York Times had an article last week, the Secretary of NATO in Brussels defected to East Germany. It wasn't a headline, it was just on the back of a little bit of a page. A Belgian secretary from the headquarters of NATO has defected to East Germany and asked for asylum. Interesting report, because it certainly didn't make the headlines, and we'll see what comes of that later. The news was filled with all kinds of death articles this week. G. Gordon Liddy from Time Magazine, excerpts from his book, how he was going to kill Jack Anderson, why he was going to kill E. Howard Hunt, how he thought there were plans to kill him. Then an article by Spiro Agnew, how he feared for his life and thought that General Haig and Richard Nixon's administration were going to kill Spiro Agnew. I'm going to go into those in detail in a few minutes. Before I do, I just want to tell you there's a publication, I don't know if you know about it, called Facts on File. I don't know if you can get these books. You can write research, and I'll give you the address again and see if Tom Davis can get them for you. But it's a company that has all kinds of facts. They have a directory on multinational enterprises, profiles of corporations and their subsidiaries, articles on the assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, presidential succession, Ford, Rockefeller, and the 25th Amendment. But one of the books that's advertised that I do have to get someday is called Obituaries on File, 25,000 Most Prominent Deaths from 1940 to 1978, a biographical dictionary based on a compilation of deaths of prominent people in alphabetical order with international entries of politics, sports, arts, science. The entries include the date, the place of birth, the office they held, and the age at the time of death. And then they have them categorized into nationalities, occupation, interests, and works, and a unique index of deaths by date. This is a volume at $75, but I would love to take that volume and mark off from my files. What I started doing, investigating the John Kennedy assassination, became just a minor part of work because my drawers and my filing cabinets are just filled one drawer after another with deaths in alphabetical order, deaths of primary witnesses at the time of trials and murders and hit runs and all different ways of dying that the CIA admits that they do, and the possibility of people such as Hale Boggs or J. Edgar Hoover or Lyndon Johnson what they were doing at the time they died, what they were saying, and when they died. And I would love to check off the files that I have to these obituaries on file. This is 25,000 of the most prominent deaths from 1940 to 1978. They get this out every 5 years, and the last one was 1978, so we'll miss 2 years, last two. But imagine now that somebody's compiling these into volumes so that you can begin to take the research of the suspicious circumstances and put them together. If you take 25,000 of these deaths and 5,000 or 6,000 of them were murders that people have admitted they did or attempted murderers who succeeded getting these people, but talk about other murders such as G. Gordon Liddy. He talked about attempting to murder Jack Anderson and E. Howard Hunt, but he worked with a man who had murdered 22 other people, including rope hangings, and he talks about the way they're murdered and how you do it and his context for murder. So he's not talking about who he murdered, but his attempted. But imagine that these 25,000 are dead. How many of those were murders in order to get us to the verge of a total fascism and on the brink of World War III? How many of these people had to die to get us at the place that we're at today? Did you see David Hartman and Jack Anderson and G. Gordon Liddy sitting and laughing about the plans that Liddy had to murder and the murders that he did, and Hartman shaking his hands as if he were greeting a great celebrity and honoring this person instead of investigating more of the Watergate murders? I saw it on TV. It was pretty disgusting. I'll quickly run down the deaths of the week, or some of them that I just got from this week's news, and without too much comment, so that you have an idea of what's taking place right in front of you if you read your papers. I don't know how many read. Most of you read them. Many people who just listen to the radio programs once a week take this as their source of news for the week instead of keeping up with the papers 7 days a week. That was my objection to being on KLRB every week, was that it became the news thing for a group of people to hear one day a week, and then the rest of the week they didn't do any work or studying. And I felt that people invest in the tapes. They can play them over and over again. And if they want to, they can take them seriously. And that's why I discontinued going down to the radio station every week. Did you see NBC News this week, April 21st, 6:50 p.m., just before the end of the hour? There was a scene down in Miami, Florida, of anti-Castro Cubans, the Omega 7 and the Alpha 66. They were also on 60 Minutes this last week. But there was a picture of them training, crawling on the ground, shooting with their guns, practicing their wars. And one of them looked at the camera and said, this training is to go into Cuba and get Fidel Castro, but it is more than that. It is to get communists anywhere. And then in that brief moment on NBC, he said, it is to go after communists in the United States. That is the beginning of the war, the civil war in the United States, of certain factions against the masses, the Chicanos, the blacks, the working people, the people that are trying to raise their standard of living, who will be exploited and eliminated, probably through alternative three or plans like that, because there are no provisions for jobs or housing or health in the future for these masses of people in this country. And I would say that looking at that man in my screen at the dinner hour and having him look back and saying that he will be shooting inside the United States is really the beginning of the takeover of America, verbally and physically. And they went on to say that their shooting is legal, it's on private property, the weapons are legal, and they can practice all that they want. So you better get ready like Sartre and Beckett and have some force or idea of what to do when these people come after you. The arrest in Chicago of the FLN members, they're people that cause violence, terrorists in the United States. They're a group of allegedly wanting Puerto Rican independence. They're responsible for more than 100 bombings in Chicago, Miami, New York City, Washington, and Puerto Rico. They've killed 5 people and they've injured 70 others. They could have been caught after the first person died and after 4 people were injured, but they were arrested in April of this month in Chicago. Why were they arrested at this time and they've been allowed to go so long? The main reason I believe they were arrested was for the same reason that the Republicans and the Liddy gang couldn't have violence at the conventions in Miami in 1972. is that the money and the funding would go directly back to the Central Intelligence Agency, so they had to call off the operations. This Carlos Torres and the group of terrorists that call themselves involved with the Puerto Rican group, the FALN, have been linked to the assassination teams in New Jersey, to the weapons of Mitchell Werbel in Georgia. These people are linked to Frank Turple in Washington, D.C., of the CIA, and they also were exposed as being connected to Mr. Kirkola in New Jersey and to Mr. Cummings, the arms merchant in London, who is arming the entire world and going on down to Colonial Dignidad with the Nazi arms merchants, gun running, and narcotics operation. Now, they had to pull these people in because their headquarters are in Newark, New Jersey, and ABSCAM is breaking, and also the arrest of Turple and Kirkola in December prohibited their continuing their violence because it would be linked to the Central Intelligence Agency. They were planning demonstrations and killings in Madison Square Garden. I've been mentioning Madison Square Garden on the past tapes for the past few weeks because that's where Jean Harris worked for a year and a half before she went down to the school in McLean, Virginia, the woman that killed Dr. Tarnauer. Have you noticed how silent all these cases are of these murders? The 33 killed in the New Jersey jail the night the ABSCAM story broke, and the case of Dennis Sweeney killing Alan Lowenstein and Jean Harris killing Dr. Tarnauer. You don't see a thing about those cases in the news. They're just sitting quiet. Well, the Democrats are having their convention, and the FALN members were planning violence there. And I believe that if the men had not been arrested in New York City in December, Turple and Kirkola, linking them to Cummings and that money to FALN, to this group, then they wouldn't have had to pull them in. But if this group had done the violence, and there were already articles in the New York Times listing them to the Central Intelligence Agency, then the CIA would be responsible for the murder of Democrats at the convention, possibly the murder of Mondale, Vice President Mondale, Jimmy Carter, and so forth. They were planning violence. The same kind of violence was planned for the Republican convention down in Miami, and it was called off because the money was linked to the Central Intelligence Agency, and they couldn't afford to have that violence take place. That's why I think the FALN was arrested in Chicago. They've had a lot of evidence of who they were. As I say, 5 murders and 70 injuries and massive destruction of housing and apartment buildings and bombings. And then, of all things, this group was going to go on to the convention to do their violence with headquarters in New Jersey, their bombs and weapons coming from the group that have been linked to the assassination teams in the past. What other violences were there this week? There are articles in the paper out here. It's time to drop the bomb on Iran. Black women were shot in Tennessee on their legs and buttocks and thighs as they left a beer place to go and have a drink. They went around the corner and they were shot. Members of the Klan have been arrested. A black girl, 9 years old, in Georgia was wounded by a shotgun going after her in a mobile home park following racial demonstrations. 2 little blonde Nazi children, about 4 and 5 years old, were photographed AP wire service, their hands in the air wearing white power shirts with swastikas. This was in North Carolina. President Tolbert of Liberia was gunned down, and the United States government is very friendly to the assassins. They've already made peace, so it's too early to say the history of why he was killed or what interest the United States had in that country that he was holding back or developing, but that was another coup last week. The Turkish ambassador from the Vatican was ambushed in a bullet-riddled car. He didn't die. His predecessor, Vatican representative Mr. Karam, was killed in Rome in 1977 by Armenian terrorists. The story is that they didn't like the policies of the Vatican from 1890 until 1920, and therefore they killed a man in 1977 and tried to kill the Vatican representative just this last week. I don't know how far back we're going to go for these assassinations or vengeance, or whether these are just shifts of policy and the excuse for the motive is to get rid of some of the more liberal members of the church I know the story of why Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy is that he wanted a place in history or was jealous of John Kennedy with so much malarkey. So I really can't believe that the Armenians would risk their life and shoot for something that happened in 1890, a representative of the Vatican at this time. There's an assassination attempt on Prime Minister Gandhi in India this last week. She's made a rapprochement with Pakistan. Pakistan turned down our offer of $400 million, and India and Pakistan seem to be getting close. I don't know whether it's a case of divide and conquer, but the man who was accused of wanting to stab her was himself stabbed in the stomach, and I don't know whether he's on the brink of death, about to die at this point. It's similar to killing Jack Ruby, killing Lee Harvey Oswald, before you find out the whole story. That fellow has also been stabbed, and we won't know much about his condition or why he really wanted to kill Mrs. Gandhi or who put him up to it. I'm sure that he won't survive this condition in the hospital there, and it would be a good one to get away. Two assassination attempts in the world, in Liberia and India, the same week. One worked and the other was a near miss. But the alleged assailant, the one who did the stabbing or wanted to stab Mrs. Gandhi, himself was stabbed. And so if there was a plot, it ends right there. Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano of organized crime, as his picture in the San Francisco Examiner, he's been what they call a big hit. The ex-hitman, now a big hit in trials. I mentioned last week how he talked about in a trial of killing six people and being part of other murders, but he was a primary witness against a man who was convicted and found guilty of taking money, several thousand dollars, from the Teamsters Union, Mr. Tham. Various informers for the federal government don't live long when they talk about organized crime and murders, but Fratriano is a well-known organized crime figure, and he's been testifying for the federal government. And he's going on down to Florida soon to testify an important case. His first public appearance recently was in Manhattan last year, involving a skimming fraud in Westchester Premier Theater. I'm watching the name Westchester and the city in terms of a lot of action with Abscam and the death of Dr. Tannauer there. But he's going to be used all over the country. Instead of getting a death penalty in Cleveland, Ohio, for murders that he had done or participated in, he is being allowed to remain free if he testifies and catches some of these other people on burglaries or petty crimes. I don't know. He's not getting anybody for the charge of murder. And while he himself participated in murders, he's nailing people who took $2,000 from the Teamsters Fund. Really a strange twist. And he'll be around the country down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the trial of Mr. Della Croce, who is the boss of the late Carlo Gambino's family. That will be interesting to see hitman Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano testifying against members of Carlo Gambino's family. Last week there was a picture of Frank Sinatra with Carlo Gambino and Jimmy Fratriano. It was in the paper. Gregory De Palma, Frank Sinatra, Thomas Marson. A fivesome, and now Frank Sinatra is being investigated for federal skimming and his links to Gambino. And as I say, Fratriano will be testifying against the Gambino family. So a few fireworks should be flying across the country as long as Jimmy the Weasel keeps testifying. He's going to bring more people into this net, and it'll get more interesting all the time. We should have some really good crime family charts and just put a circle about which fruit or member of the family is knocked off as the testimony begins, and which become the informers. On the other side of the tape, we'll do some more on current killings and more on the book The Hoffa Wars and Irv Davidson, the public relations man, and Spiro Agnew and G. Gordon Liddy.